are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Welcome. We are recording this on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. I'm Cassidy Palmer, joined by the master of the RPI, Carl James, the creator of iubase.com, Josh Bennett, and our special guest, senior left-handed pitcher, Braden Scott. So Carl, what do we have this week by way of Hoosier highlights?
We've got some highlights this week. Well, first of all, there's Kyle Schwarber, who has just been mashing the ball for the Chicago Cubs. And he's up to 10 home runs on the short season so far. Had a really solid week and added one, I think, yesterday as well. As good as Kyle's been, as much as he's been mashing it, the real highlight for the week was last night. Those of you who watch this podcast sometimes have asked, why do we name the hitting award after this gentleman? Last night, Alex Dickerson had 5 extra base hits in one game. 3 of those were bombs. One of those went 480 feet. It's an incredible feat that Alex had last night. And this brings Dickerson's stats for the season. It brings him up to .276 average with 6 home runs, and his OPS is now .820. So he is just mashing it for the Giants. And at this point, hey, if he can get on a run like he did last season, this is the start of that. It could be another really special season for Alex Dickerson. Now I'll pass this back to Cass for some stats on Braden Scott.
Thank you, Carl. So looking at Braden's IU career, he has a 2.87 ERA. In 37 and two-thirds innings across 24 appearances. He has 53 strikeouts compared to just 13 walks and has a .207 batting average against. So far as an IU pitcher, he's given up just one single home run, and he has 2 wins under his belt and no losses. The shortened 2020 season was looking fantastic for Braden. In 14 and two-thirds innings across 5 appearances. He had a 1.23 ERA. I love when it lines up like that. 1.23 ERA and a .160 batting average against. He gave up just 3 extra base hits in the shortened season, and all of them were doubles. So, Braden, welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate your time, Braden.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were a Hoosier well before you, the time that you showed up at IU. So maybe tell us about your favorite thing about your hometown, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is it's a real small town, you know, about 45 minutes west of here. I wouldn't change where I grew up for anything. I really like growing up in a small town. Everyone knows who you are, you know, but everybody's going to have your back when you go home. And, you know, no matter where you're at, you know, I mean, I still talk to my friends from high school to this day. And I'd say that's just the biggest thing that I like about Jacksonville is all the relationships. You know, every time I come home, everyone's asking how I'm doing. Even when I'm not home, people are still like reaching out to me, asking me how I'm doing and how everything's going, and wanting to come up and like watch me play, or when we go to, you know, Indiana State or anything like that, you know, they're wanting to come and watch. It's really special.
So what was it like playing ball at Shackamack High School?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, I played under Coach Sweet, who's an awesome coach. You know, we won state my sophomore year. Unfortunately, lost my junior. But, you know, Shackamack's, yes, it's a 1A school, but it's known as a baseball school. So, you know, it was awesome getting to grow up into that and then still being able to play baseball at a high level, 4 years later, 5 years later and stuff.
So what did you learn from Coach Sweet?
Coach Sweet had a great mind for the game. You know, he taught me a lot of just the fundamentals of the game, you know, like how to think as a baseball player. you know, and honestly, just how to carry myself on a baseball field, you know, how to be a respectable baseball player. And I'd say that's the biggest thing that I learned from Coach Sweet, was just, you know, how if you treat the game right, the game's going to treat you right. And that was the biggest thing for me.
So we've got a little bit of an honesty check with this next question. When you committed to play for Marshall in 2015, did you ever envision yourself pitching at the box on opening weekend, setting down the first six you faced, including a second round MLB pick during your senior season?
I can't say that I did. You know, I mean, I thought that at that time in my career, I'd be in West Virginia, you know, and then, you know, stuff didn't pan out the way that it did. And I ended up taking a different route. But, you know, with everything that happened, wouldn't change it for the world. You know, I got to come to my dream school and get to play with a great group of guys, phenomenal coaching staff. So I couldn't be more happy with where I'm at right now.
Yeah, in 2016, you decided to go the JUCO route. Yeah. And that decision paid off for you in a big way, like what you were talking about. Do the numbers 18 and 8 mean anything to you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I had a pretty good season my sophomore year. You know, that was Conley too. You know, Conley, like I said with Coach Sweet, you know, he just taught me how to be a competitor, really. You know, I mean, I'd go out there and I'd start trying to like toy around with guys and, you know, get them slipping on like a curveball or something like that. And he would just come out to the mound and he'd just start ripping me. He'd be like, you can't be playing around with these guys. You got to go right after him. And, you know, that's something I've carried in my game ever since. And you know, I think that mentality directly correlated into the 118 and 8 strikeout to walks, and that's correlated into my game so far, you know, in my career today.
So Braden, you guys won over 80 games your 2 years there, so it might be a little hard to pick just one thing, but what were some of your favorite moments while you were there at Olney College?
My freshman year was a lot of fun, solely just because it was my first year of college. You know, that first year of college is a really good time where, you know, you get to figure yourself out as a person, as a baseball player. It's your first time away from home. You know, you make relationships that, you know, last forever. You know, I still talk to a lot of my buddies from my junior college to this day. Like, we have a group chat with some of my old roommates and we talk in there every day. You know, and then my sophomore year, definitely winning the region was really cool. The district was really cool, because that was the first time that Conley had actually won one in his, I think that was his like 39th season, possibly 40th season at Olney. And he had never won one to that point. So being able to be a part of that and knowing that, you know, with a guy who is a junior college Hall of Fame coach already, and he's not even done coaching yet. Being on that team that was his first championship was really cool to me.
So Murray State was in your future after JUCO originally. So what led to you committing to IU, and who did you connect with most during the recruitment process?
Yeah, that was a really long process. So, you know, sophomore year ended, and I was actually on my way to Willmar, Minnesota to play in the Northwoods League. About halfway into my drive, my junior college assistant coach, he gave me a call and he said, hey, like, I don't know if Murray State's gotten a hold of you or anything like that, but they just let go of their coaching staff. And I was like, oh, all right. So I didn't really know what to do with that information at that point. I was just on the road driving 12 hours to Minnesota. And then next thing you know, DC, Conley, he calls me and he was like, hey, like, you know, maybe it'd be smart for you to like, just kind of see if you can get out of your NLI and start talking to other schools. I think it'd be big for you with the numbers that you put up last season. So I went through a whole process of doing that, you know, getting out of my NLI and everything. And then I had talked to a handful of schools, and I saw I saw the number call me and I answered it, and it was Mercer. And, you know, we had a conversation and he was like, hey, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, we want you here at IU. And I actually tried to accept the offer on spot and he wouldn't let me. he wanted me to talk it over with my family and call him back. So, you know, I went in and I talked to my mom about it and I told her, and she was super excited. And then that next morning at like 9 o'clock in the morning, I was like, hey, I'm in. So yeah, me and Mercer connected pretty well, and me and Parker connected pretty well. You know, I have a very good relationship with Parker, I feel like, and Mercer as well. But the recruiting process was long, but like I said, it landed me here, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, excellent. Now you've played for several coaches, including some real baseball minds. If you could kind of build a super coach, by taking a few things from Coach Sweet and Coach Conley, and then kind of mixing that up with what you've seen so far from Coach Mercer, what would that look like?
Oh, that, I mean, that's a tough question. you could almost just mash them all into one. I mean, I don't think they're all identical at all, but I think a lot of them bring very similar approaches to the game. You know, it's not just the baseball side of it that they're completely worried about. You know, like I've said a couple times, you know, the mentality side of it, like I how Coach Sweet helped me, like, you know, kind of respect the game, and then Conley taught me how to be a competitor in the game, and then Mercer's done the same thing where he's kind of made me kind of amplify what I'm about and how I approach the game. And that's really why the second half of my junior season I threw so well, was because Mercer came to me and, you know, he talked to me. We had a conversation where it was like, you know, hey, I know you're good. Like, you got to be able to go out and compete the way I know you can. And that was a reason why, like I said, you know, my second half of my junior year was really well. So, I mean, they're all excellent baseball minds. You know, I mean, Coach Sweet's a Hall of Fame high school coach in the state of Indiana. Conley is a junior college Hall of Fame coach. And I think Coach Mercer is one of the best coaches in the country. You know, so I've been blessed to play under a lot of different coaches that are phenomenal coaches. And I don't know that I could pick one thing out from each of them. I think they're all great minds of the game.
So thinking back to your junior year, do you remember your first W as a Hoosier in 2019?
Yeah, no, I do. It was the game at India State. Yeah, that was a really cool one.
And what was it like having such a big crew out there supporting you?
It was awesome. I honestly didn't expect it to be that, like, as many people as there. I expected it to be like a couple of my high school buddies. You know, because, I mean, with Terre Haute being like 30 minutes away from my hometown, a lot of them go to Indiana State. So I just kind of expected a couple of my buddies that go to Indiana State to come. But then, like, our old bus driver that used to drive the bus for the high school team was there. You know, one of our old high school baseball coaches was there. You know, a lot of friends and family were there. It was really cool, and it was an awesome it was really awesome to be in that situation, and for it to be my first win as a Hoosier, it meant a lot to me.
So now your first win in 2020 at ECU in a tough environment. You were awesome that night, 7 strikeouts, just 3 hits in 4 innings. And in that environment, can you tell us a little bit about that?
That was, obviously throwing at the box was awesome. You know, that's a historic ballpark, but throwing in that ECU game was sweet. I mean, that atmosphere there, those ECU fans are kind of ruthless. I mean, they're kind of ruthless. So, you know, I mean, every inning you're going out there, I go out there the first inning, I throw really well. And then second inning you go out there and, you know, they start kind of chirping you a little bit, and going out there still rolling strong in the third, and they're getting on you. So, It was really cool, and probably one of the coolest atmospheres I've definitely played in so far in my college career.
So I'm guessing that's what fed into your memorable walk off the mound game.
A little bit, yeah. The antics that went on a little bit before that, it was definitely a heat of the moment thing. I kind of had it in the back of my head. you know, I was like, if I set this guy down, I'm gonna make a little bit of show out of this, you know. So, you know, it happened, and I did. I had fun with it.
That's the fun part of the college game.
That's the truth.
So what'd you have going best, do you think, that night? Was it the adrenaline with the crowd and that feeding it, or was your stuff?
Yeah, I definitely say the adrenaline with the crowd. And I mean, just knowing that that was a top 25 team, you know, and we were in at their ballpark, and that would be a very big win for us if we could get it. So, you know, my mindset going on the mound was like, if I can help us get this win, you know, if I can pitch to my ability, and Gabe threw great before that too. You know, if our staff's able to pitch to the best of their ability that night and pick up a win, that's big for us, you know, RPI wise, it's big for us going towards the end of the season and everything like that. So I was just going out there trying to pitch the best I could in order to get us a win.
Well, there was really no question that you were locked in right out of the gate in 2020. It had to be disappointing, you know, how quickly that all kind of came to a halt. Can you talk a little bit about what you did after the season got shut down and how you kind of just tried to keep things going since everything was kind of locked down?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely weird. I mean, you know, we're going to eat and stuff like that when everything first starts happening, and, you know, you're seeing stuff getting shut down, you're seeing stuff getting postponed, but like nothing was like really getting like canceled, I guess. And so, I mean, when everything happened, you know, we had the talk with Mercer, and he was talking like, you know, yeah, so we're not going to be able to have fans, you know, this season. And it was like, oh, okay. Like that, as long as we get to play, that's cool. And then the next day it was like, hey, we're done, you know? And that was kind of, it hurt a lot, especially being a senior and, you know, this group of seniors that we have. I mean, we've all been working real hard, and not just us, but the whole team. We were starting to click. We were playing really well. So, you know, it just left a sour taste in our mouth. And, you know, at the start of quarantine, I didn't know what to do because there really was – I mean, at the beginning of it, like, there were stuff that was still open. So, like, we were throwing at the recreational fields on like over by the Briscoe dorms and stuff like that. But then all of a sudden they got shut down. So then we had to find somewhere else to throw. And then it was like, we couldn't get into a weight room. So me and Gabe bought a membership at a place here in Bloomington. We lived there for like 4 days, and then they got shut down. And so at that point it was just like, I don't know what to do at this point. So, but then, you know, I kind of started thinking about it and was like, I'm not the only one in the country that's in this position, you know, like being a college baseball player. Like, there's people all over the country that are doing the same thing right now and figuring stuff out. So like I went back home, me and Matt went to my house, and my mom had dumbbells from like 5 pounds up to 45 pounds. We brought those all back to our house. We were running little workouts in our living room and stuff like that. We would go throw at Bryan Park, which was super weird because there's like families like flying kites, and there's kids having like t-ball practice and stuff like that, and we're just out there in the middle of it throwing a ball as far as we can. But you know, we found ways to make it fun and not completely lose our head. So yeah.
So was there ever a decision not to come back for 2021?
No, I mean, I was back. I was pretty well set in coming back. You know, me and Parker had a conversation a couple of days after, you know, and he had called me and told me like, hey, you know, there's a pretty good chance that you guys are going to get a year of eligibility back. Would you be interested in coming? And I was like, absolutely. Like, I'm here 100%, you know, and I didn't see myself playing college baseball for a fifth year. I will say that, but it's definitely something that I wanted to do because this past year kind of left a sour taste in our mouth, you know, and being able to come back and have the chance to play a full season, hopefully, you know, with everything going on, you never know. But, you know, that's something I'm really looking forward to, is playing again.
So Braden, we saw you were out with the Making Bacon this summer. How was that?
Yep. Hot. Very hot, Georgia. Yeah. It's very, very, very humid. But it was a lot of fun. We had a really good team. We had a really good time. You know, I had three of the other guys on the team down there. It was me, Ty, Connor, and Matt Lewicki. So we had a lot of fun with it down there, you know, and got to meet a lot of good guys, you know, had a very different experience with playing summer ball in the middle of a pandemic, you know, and playing two teams all year. You know, we played for like a month and a half. I think it was something like that. And we played two teams the entire time and we scrimmaged ourselves. So it was a little bit different, but it was a lot of fun. I'm really glad that I was able to go out and be able to play a little bit before I came back here.
Sounds like all four of you had pretty good summer. So did you feed off each other? Were there any friendly competitions going on or just having fun with your guys?
It was mostly just having fun with our guys. Cause you know, I mean, Ty didn't really get to throw a whole lot, but he had an amazing summer down there. And then like me, Connor and Matt were throwing really well during the season. So it was like, we all knew the season that we were kind of trickling towards and everything. And so it was like, every time you'd go out on the mound, like, I mean, you were right behind them. Like you were ready to go. You're ready to run through a wall because you just wanted to see them go out and absolutely shove. And then Ty goes out there and Ty is just absolutely striking out everybody he faces and stuff like that, which is super awesome. He had a heck of a summer. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it was very much competitive as it was just like, just knowing how hard that we had worked during the season and just being able to play games to see it pay off a little bit more than we had in the shortened season. So it was really nice to go out there, especially with those guys, and get to be in a competitive atmosphere, playing in front of fans. You know, we weren't selling out the stadium or anything like that because they had capacity rules. But being able to play in front of people and kind of have that atmosphere of, you know, everything's kind of normal again, I guess.
All right, Braden, I'm going to throw one out here for you. I'm going to share my share of screen here, and I'm going to show you something, and I kind of want you to reflect on it.
So, okay. Yeah. So, oh, man, that was the day before the championship game in Macon, and we got a crazy amount of rain. Like in 45 minutes, I mean, just downpour, and it just didn't stop. But we were sitting there in the dugout, and then all of a sudden the drains start backing up, and I mean, it's just spewing into the dugout. So we were just kind of like messing around with it. Well, I was walking back into our clubhouse, and I found like a little circle raft, like just like the donut rafts or whatever they're called. And I went out there, and I was like trying to sit in it, but like it wasn't aired up enough. And I wasn't about to try to blow it up, knowing that I just put it down in that water. And I was like, you know what, never mind. And someone brought out the strip of bacon, the big floaty. And I was messing around with it. And then I kind of like, I stood at the top of the dugout and I was like, who's trying to go surfing, you know, messing around. And our head coach looks at me and he goes, hey, go float in the visitor's dugout. And I was like, all right. So I went over there and just started floating around in there. It was fun. That was really nice too. Just that last day that we had with all the guys, you know, just to kind of hang out one more time and goof off a little bit and not really have to worry about anything. But yeah, that was definitely pretty fun. My mom texted me after that and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I don't know. I'm sorry."
Well, that'll do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Chris Feeney prepared questions for tonight's recording, so we want to give him a shout out on those. Read up on Indiana baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CUatTheBart and at iubase17. On Instagram, it's iubase. And subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube, which features these video podcasts, summer league game clips, game day media availabilities, and a lot more. For Carl James, Josh Bennett, and Braden Scott, I'm Cassidy Palmer. See you at the BART.